Welcome back to A Fresh Story. This episode is part of a special series for October, as it is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. We are honored to hold space for these profound conversations and share these stories. These stories may be of grief, but they are also of hope, resilience, and most of all, unconditional love. As a reminder, be gentle with your heart. And if you are not able to listen to this episode at the moment, we understand and we're holding you close. These conversations will change you as they have changed us. I'll let these amazing women tell you in their own words. It's no surprise that here at Fresh Starts, we're all about seeking answers and support from experts. And when it came to the topic of miscarriage, I was specifically curious about why we don't talk about miscarriage, especially because it's kind of common. So I sought out some experts and had a conversation with them. I asked them all the same question. Why are we not talking about miscarriage if it is so common? And how common is miscarriage? Take a listen to their words and see why they think we're not talking about miscarriage, even though it's incredibly common.
Hi, I'm Katie Huey Harrison. I am the founder of Undefining Motherhood. We are a media company supporting moms through all of the major transitions from fertility to pregnancy, parenthood, and beyond. And our company actually grew out of my experience with recurrent pregnancy loss. I was researching motherhood in an academic context while going through a recurrent miscarriage, and that really real look at what it meant to try to be a mom and become a mom in our current age made me realize that the work I was doing needed to really leave that academic realm and be available for everyone. Miscarriage is extremely common, but it's important for us to understand that extremely common does not mean extremely easy or even a little bit so. One in four pregnancies end in miscarriage. The statistics vary anywhere between 20 and 25%. Those statistics also assume that we have accounted for all pregnancies beforehand, which we have not. So if we're including extremely early losses, the number would be much higher. But the fact that it's so common sometimes makes people think like, oh, I'm not supposed to feel what I'm feeling because this happens to people every day. And because it's so common for medical providers, we often get that feeling from our care teams as well. And that's just not the reality. There are myriad ways that people respond to loss, from relief to extreme, extreme devastation that can turn into serious mental health struggles. And all of those feelings are valid. All of those experiences are valid. But I think it's important for us to understand, no matter what we're feeling, we're not alone. This happens every day and has happened since procreation began, since the beginning of time. We're part of this large collective sisterhood that we wish we were not a part of, and yet there's so much support out there for us. If you have a really early miscarriage, people will often say, oh, well, that's a lot like having a heavy period. And that might be true if you've only missed your period by 4 or 5 days. But beyond that, it's significantly more intense. The cramping is more intense. The bleeding is more intense. There's blood clot, there's tissues, there's all sorts of things that can be really horrifying to see. And the further along you get, the more similar it becomes to labor. So you can have contractions and regular patterns. People can hemorrhage and need emergency medical care. It can really be the full shebang, to even the point of the postpartum hormone drop and milk coming in. So we really underestimate as a society what it looks like to go through miscarriage. And we think, oh, maybe you take a day off work and you put your feet up on the couch and watch some TV with a heating pad. That's just not most people. When someone experiences miscarriage, there's no bereavement leave, there's no personal leave, no medical leave, nothing really to support you. And it becomes extra tricky because many times women aren't comfortable telling their superiors at work that they're having a miscarriage, because that means also telling them that there is a future pregnancy coming. So desperately need systems in place to support moms through this process. I was extremely fortunate, and I think the fact that this counts as fortunate shows how problematic our current system is, that I had a boss who was extremely supportive, and she told me, you're not going to come back for the next week. You will be at home. You will give your students, I was teaching college at the time, you will give your students online coursework, but also we will not tell HR about this. This is our little secret, basically, because I was technically working from home because I did take the time to put together assignments for my students. And then I stayed home and grieved, and I graded those assignments after I took that week off. So I had sort of a makeshift leave. And in talking about that, I say I'm one of the lucky ones. Most people don't get that. There are women who are popping ibuprofen that doesn't begin to touch their pain while working through cramping and bleeding. And we see examples of this often in Hollywood and in musicians have talked about performing concerts while they were having miscarriages. We've seen athletes who played tennis while they were going through pregnancy loss. And while more power to them for being able to push their bodies in that way, I think that actually really harms the narratives that we have socially that makes it seem like it's just not that big a deal, when for so many people, it is physically and emotionally debilitating. Oh, so many reasons. Mostly because other people's pain makes us uncomfortable, which means when we tell someone that we're going through a loss, no one knows how to respond to us. And often what we find is that people say things that are very hurtful. They say things like, oh, at least you weren't further along. At least you know you can get pregnant. And what these couching phrases like at least say to us is, hey, my loss doesn't matter. My feelings aren't valid. And so we quiet ourselves. And I think that's the main reason we don't talk about it as much now. Historically, there are every number of reasons, right, that we didn't talk about it. There was discomfort with women's bodies. We didn't even use the word period until the last 40 years in public. So certainly we weren't talking about losing a pregnancy and what that looks like. I think there are many, many reasons historically, but I think, you know, in the current day, we have a lot of big voices who have been coming out, who have been speaking up, who have been trying to normalize these conversations. And what I find within my community at Undefining Motherhood is that the moms who stay silent either stay silent because they're truly introverted people and they don't want to talk about it. And that is a completely valid way to feel. There's no reason to share if it doesn't feel genuine and appropriate and supportive to you to share. But for a lot of them, it's actually that they want to share, but they're afraid of what they're going to hear.
Hi, I'm Sarah Baroud. I am a therapist and social worker practicing in Massachusetts, and I work primarily with the perinatal population. I do individual and couples work, as well as groups and workshops. I think there's so many reasons for this, unfortunately. Anything in our culture that has a negative connotation, people shy away from it. They're nervous to talk about it. They might not know the right words to say. They don't know how to be around someone who's experienced a loss. So it's really important that we just speak about these things, especially miscarriage, as often as we can. When people feel comfortable sharing their stories, it really shines a light for those that will come after them. It's not always easy for people to share, but as a professional, I like to make space for people to share and to reduce that stigma that, you know, about 10 to 20% of pregnancies will end in a miscarriage. So it is very common, about 1 in 5 people. There's no reason that we should not be talking about this more frequently.
Hi, I'm Catherine Aguirre. I am a women's health physician assistant. So statistically, miscarriage occurs in the first trimester in 1 in 5 pregnancies. And as your maternal age increases, that can increase slightly as well. Certain genetic conditions that people have can increase the risk of miscarriage in general, but the basic statistic is 1 in 5. I think like a lot of other women's health topics, it is something that is more taboo to speak of. I think it has to do with our society and culture. In terms of my practice, I always talk about it in the first trimester, in the first OB visit, and tell them, you know, that this is what the statistic is. And it's very hard, though, for patients, especially first-time pregnancy patients, to they're so excited. And so they might hear what I'm saying, but not really hear what I'm saying. So I think that if we could open the dialogue more in general, it would be great.
I'm Emily Party. I run Ready Nest Counseling here in Nashville, Tennessee. We specialize in helping those walking through the life phases of pregnancy, postpartum, infertility, loss, and early parenting. Yeah, miscarriage happens to about 1 in 4 pregnancies. And so it's, you know, whether that is before 20 weeks is kind of the timeline of what's considered a miscarriage and what's considered a late-term loss or stillbirth. That's the difference, is most hospitals would say that's prior to 20 weeks. And it's so incredibly common, and yet you're correct, we don't talk about it a lot of times because one of the social norms we have in America is to not even announce your pregnancy until 12 weeks. That is one thing that socially we've decided, for whatever reason, we don't say that, you know. And so a lot of the losses that are prior to 12 weeks, which is the majority of them, you know, it is don't see, don't tell, don't talk, don't ask, you know, and move on. And so it's incredibly dismissed. And there's a lot of women suffering in silence, that they don't, we also don't support them corporately or in their jobs. And so there's so many reasons that they're scared to take time off. They're scared to disclose that I am trying to get pregnant or I was pregnant. And so, that's in question. So there's just a lot of insecurity around it, not to mention people don't know what to say, right? That even if they do share, if they do post, we have a lack of resources for what to say and what not to say. And so there's so many platitudes that are possibly well-intended, I think most of the time well-intended, but are actually causing harm and are very insensitive, which then gives the message that you shouldn't have said anything in the first place. And so then more and more people stay silent. It's so private. And I always try to tell clients, you know, there's a difference between private and secret. Secret demands shame, right? That you have something that you shouldn't be able to disclose. And private means you're actually empowered to decide for yourself whether you'd like to share or not. And so there's nothing wrong with keeping that private if there is a journey that you're walking through. But that doesn't mean, private doesn't mean not supported. It actually means like privately supported in the way that you want and the way that you specifically need. And so we need to be able to provide resources that isn't necessarily saying you have to overshare in order to get the help you need. It's just, where do you go to get the help you need? It's hard to find, right? It's one of the reasons I started Readiness Counseling, that we want to be able to welcome losses of all journeys. Sometimes that's even an what we call kind of an intangible loss, that like if you're struggling with infertility, that isn't going to get sympathy. It's not going to get recognized if you, well, I haven't even been pregnant yet, right? And so a lot of women fall in that category of loss. That isn't even recognized as a loss, right? So that's another hurdle. But it is so isolating. And, you know, there's some books and journals out there. But at Ready Nest, you know, one of our things is to be able to offer a free loss group and to be able to, you know, we offer an online resource that on readinestonline.com that is just a free quick training for sensitivity of how to talk to lost parents. And it really is just kind of for anyone. You have to be a clinician. You could be, you know, a sister of somebody who went through a miscarriage, a parent, a grandparent, maybe you're a nurse and you just, you know, just witnessed your first, you know, something in the medical setting that was, you didn't know how to handle or what to say or what not to say. So there's just, we have to talk about it. I mean, things like this, about getting the word out, starting with the questions and not needing the answers so much as just being able to say, like, this matters and I want to be able to talk about it, is the most important thing. And we really undervalue just being, you know, like just showing up and not having the answers. And I'm just a big believer that grief is not something that needs fixing. And we don't grieve well in America. We don't, you know, we kind of are like, all right, wrap it up. Let's go, you know, move on. This is getting uncomfortable, you know, and instead to really welcome that discomfort as part of the growing process of the human experience, you know, and to be able to say, this matters and it doesn't need to go away. And it's not a problem that needs solving. It's just an experience that needs to be able to be shared. Pain is pain, you know, that we never, one of the things you really should never say, start a sentence with at least ... You know, it's like, and at least you were only 8 weeks along, you know, it's like, nope. Like, at least you got to hold your baby, you know, it's nope. Like anything like that is like off limits, right? So that's a pretty clear indicator that you're trying to comfort yourself more than the other person. And a lot of times it is painful. You know, if you were watching a friend go through that, recognize that you have your own experience in that, but it is not their responsibility to comfort you in any way. I just want to encourage people to not shy away. You know, that the most common misconception when it comes to grief, especially surrounding pregnancy loss and infant loss, is if I say something, I will make them sadder. If I mention it, I will bring it up and make them more sad, and I will make it worse, basically. And I can't tell you enough how opposite it is, you know, that it is okay. Like, they are already grieving. There is not an hour that goes by that they aren't in it, thinking about it, aware of it. You can't possibly make it sadder, you know? So by being able to just be present and not wince at the baby's name, or, you know, and just being welcoming and compassionate and really saving your questions for another person supporting you, you know, not for the primary grievers. I think sometimes people get a little fascinated with the drama of a story, and we all love a good story, but this is a human and a human's life, and it is more than the details. And so to be able to save any questions of interest, and to be okay with, like, I know whatever they tell me. I don't need to know any more than that.
A Fresh Story is produced by Fresh Starts Registry. A heartfelt thank you to all of the women who share their stories in this special series. And a special thank you to Alex Mooney, who has been our special consultant for these episodes. If you are experiencing pregnancy or infant loss, we hope that these episodes helped you feel a little bit less alone. We love you, and we are holding you close.